fires deep, middle of the field, intercepted. An incredible pick by Patrick Peterson.
Welcome to Arizona Cardinals Underground, presented by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown, Arizona!
The latest news and notes from the guys who cover the team.
Oh, baby! They can't block Calais Campbell.
Steps up, throws left side end zone. Roberts caught it!
No way!
Touchdown, Cardinals!
From Cardinals headquarters in Tempe.
Touchdown, Larry Fitzgerald!
This is football at its finest.
Here's Darren Urban.
Well, welcome into another edition of Cardinals Underground on azcardinals.com. I'm Darren Urban, and once again, joined by Ron Wolfley. And, you know, it's to that point, Wolf, where we're talking playoffs and we're talking playoff possibilities. And
playoffs?
And the reality is it's going to be difficult no matter what the Cardinals do. And before I let you jump in here, let me just take this at the top, basically a quick overview of what we're looking at.
Please do.
The Cardinals cannot be tied with the 49ers. In any way, shape, or form, because that kills them. They can beat out the Panthers in a tiebreak situation, but when you start looking at the teams that are playing and all that, it's very, very difficult. And what the Cardinals are looking at this weekend is, if they lose in Seattle and Carolina wins, they're basically done. Now, the 49ers have the tiebreak, so you know you're in a situation where I guess the 49ers could lose a couple games, and they play Monday night at home against Atlanta. But you're in a bad situation if Carolina wins this game and you lose. Now, if the Cardinals win in Seattle, that's different. We'll get to that in a minute. But it's tough a little bit to be 9-5, to have such a great season, and to really be hanging on by your fingertips at this point.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, D. I want to go back to something you said right there, because the Carolina Panthers are playing the New Orleans Saints, correct?
They're
playing at home, okay? There's a real possibility they could lose that game.
That's true.
The problem is they follow up the last game of the season with the Atlanta Falcons.
Yes.
The Atlanta Falcons. How about the Falcons just hosing us, right? Right now, here was a team that was so good coming into this season. A team that was Super Bowl ready. Not just this year, but all the way back to last year as well. And of course, Carolina and San Francisco in the last 2 weeks, whom do they play? The Atlanta Falcons are in there. It's just, look, here's what I know. Very similar to what we've experienced over the last 2 weeks against the St. Louis Rams at home. You had to win that game. You had to win that game, and we were talking about it even then. You might have to win out. Well, they went down to Tennessee just last week, and they did the exact same thing. And we were saying, you had to win. Look, here's what I know. You got to beat Seattle. And you know what? Then let the chips fall where they may in the last week of the season. But if you don't beat Seattle, to your point, for the most part, it's probably going to come to an end.
Well, before we get too far ahead of Seattle, let's quickly look back at Tennessee, which seemed like it was, after a while, it was in the bag, and then it wasn't, and then we went to overtime. I mean, that was such a weird game in so many ways.
I get that.
With the penalties, and it seemed to wake the team up a little bit, and then they got the big lead of 17 points with 6 minutes to go. The Titans didn't even cut into that 17-point lead until there was 3 minutes and 12 seconds left on the clock, and yet they're able to tie the game. Defensively, it was a little concerning, didn't it?
Yeah, oh no, it was. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It was concerning, but I'll tell you, I get it so much. I understand it. I was a guy, D, that had to whip myself into a frenzy to go out and actually compete at this level. I was too slow, too small, too weak, too everything, and I had to make up for it with raw intensity, manufactured intensity. And there's a lot of guys who are able to do it that had a lot more skill, a lot more talent than I ever did. And yet at the same time, I will tell you that there were times when we were up on a team, and it wasn't very often in my career, all right? But there were times when we were up big on a team going into the fourth quarter, where all of a sudden you're having conversations on the sideline that you would never have on the sideline. There are smiles. smiles. They come more readily. There's talking. There's even laughter on the sideline because you feel like, you know what, you've done it. You've done your work. There's no way that this team's going to come back from being 21 down in the fourth quarter to beat you. And yeah, you go out and you play, and you're playing hard, but you're really not playing with the intensity and the raw emotion and the passion that you need to. I get it. And I was one of those guys that knew how to manufacture that stuff. There are so many other guys out there, so many guys in the league that are so talented, they don't need to manufacture that desperation to go do their job. Man, did I envy them too. Oh, did I envy them that they could do that. So I understand how a team can get up 17 points with just over 6 minutes to go, as the Cardinals did against the Titans last week. And you just think it's okay, guys, it's over. It's over. I think we can relax a little bit. Yeah, we've got to go out and finish these last 6 minutes, but I think we all know how this is going to end, right? Especially when you talk about our defense.
Yeah.
Our defense has been lights out all season long. And when you tell me that the Titans scored 17 points through 3.5 quarters, just 17, and even that was a little dicey to me, there's no way they're going to score 17 points in the last 6 minutes of the game. Not against our defense. Just not going to happen. And guess what? It did. Is it acceptable? You never accept it under any situation, any circumstance. But what I thought also was so telling was just how cool and laid back Bruce was about it.
Yeah.
Bruce Arians. Here's a guy that is a veteran coach who understands stuff like this does happen. The good news, you pulled it out of the fire. You know, I wasn't stunned that they blew a 17-point lead with 6 minutes ago. What did stun me is that they won a game in which they blew a 17-point lead with 6 minutes to go. Because typically when that thing goes off, it is off. And all the overtime periods in the world is not going to save you at that point. The fact that they were able to make enough plays to win the game in overtime after shutting it off for the last 6 minutes, that to me, as a former player, I respect.
I can't agree with you more on that. The fact that the Titans got the ball first in overtime, and of course new overtime rules say that each team, as long as a touchdown isn't scored by that first possession, each team is going to get a possession. But the Titans getting the ball first and the way they had moved the ball, it was hard not to think, you know, they very well could get a touchdown. And in fact, right before Antoine Kaysen's second interception, they got a huge gain on Patrick Peterson.
Yeah.
And they looked like they were going to be moving the ball. It was a little frightening, actually. But this team did bounce back, and Kaysen was one of the reasons. I didn't think he started the game all that well. He looked a little rusty. He looked slow. I thought the secondary very definitely was missing Tyrann Mathieu.
Yes.
It was disappointing. The pass rush was not as effective as you would have thought it would have been.
Agreed.
But the fact that this secondary came together when it had to, that Kaysen made the plays when it had to, I thought was very telling and very important going forward, because, of course, they don't have Mathieu, and they very well might not have Rashad Johnson this week because of an ankle sprain.
Yeah, you know, Antoine Kaysen, here was a guy that, as you said, didn't get a lot of reps. And I thought it was really neat what they did. They moved him to the outside, and they took Jerrod Powers, and they moved him in as the nickel corner. And that seemed to work really well. I thought Jerrod Powers actually played a very good game as the nickel corner. Antoine Kaysen, they went after him.
Yes, they did.
And why wouldn't you? I mean, you're like, okay, there's Patrick Peterson, and here's a guy that hasn't played in a long time. Here's a guy that hasn't gotten many reps out there at corner. What do you say we go at that guy and test him? And it's one of the reasons why he had four tackles. They torched him pretty good. They went after him in that first half,
yeah,
in particular, all the way into the third quarter, as a matter of fact. And it was great to see Antoine. It was great to see him rally himself under dire circumstances. When you've been targeted and picked on to some degree throughout the whole game, and then you somehow, some way, find yourself and make a play, not just one play. He made three plays in this game.
Yeah.
Two picks. I mean, how about this for a day? Pick six, to give your team a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter, and then you come up with a pick in overtime to give your team the ball when the other team was driving down the field and possibly could have scored some points. And if it was a touchdown, it would have ended the game. And now suddenly you get the opportunity to quid pro quo and do the same thing down the field and kick a field goal, and you win the game. Plus, you recovered a fumble. Antoine Kasich just had this massive game.
It was so important. I mean, it's funny because the way it ended kind of gave you this really weird feeling about feeling really happy about it, because you felt like it should have been a little more solid of a win than it was. But there were a lot of.
I don't care.
I know you don't. And you know
I don't, man.
They don't either.
And that Arians was Bruce Arians, yeah. too.
And you know what? He said that over and over and over. The players are all echoing that, which always lets you know that they're listening to the coach, which is good. And I agree. Of course, the win is everything. I thought we saw Andre Ellington emerge as a receiver. And Bruce Arians keeps saying that he doesn't even know what he's doing out there, and he's already a pretty good receiver. What happens when he does it? That
Carson
guy,
Palmer, D, said yes. that Andre Ellington could be a number two receiver in the NFL.
Which,
what?
This pick is going to end up being one of the greatest this team's ever had, isn't it? Or it's headed that way.
I look at it right now, and I'm trying to find something wrong with this kid. I really am. He's got the speed. We've seen that. He's got speed where he can take it to the house. He's got this lateral move. He's got this lateral jump move that is as good as I've seen in a long, long time. And that was really the knock against him. They believed he was a great straight line guy, but didn't have great lateral movement. And boy, he has put that in the myth category, because Andre Ellington is got everything you want out of that lateral movement. He's got great vision, and he plays well in space. I could not be any more impressed, not only because he can also catch the ball, but he holds up in protection very, very well. The only question you have with him is whether or not he, in fact, could carry the load as the guy.
Which I think is a fair question, because what have they been saying the whole time about limiting the reps? They don't want him getting banged up. Now, he's already slipped and hurt his knee in practice, and Bruce Arians actually admitted after the Tyrann Mathieu injury that he thought Andre Ellington had blown out his knee that day at practice.
Oh, man.
Which, thank goodness, that didn't happen. But then he ends up with a thigh bruise in Tennessee, couldn't play at the end of the game, and that kind of brings us forward now to Seattle, Wolf. You're going into a game. You got to win. Your quarterback's nursing an ankle sprain that probably isn't going to keep him out, but it's going to limit the mobility of a guy that's kind of limited mobility and mobile-wise, anyways,
yes,
however that goes.
It was good, though.
Larry Fitzgerald's coming off a concussion. I think he has said he thinks he's going to be able to play. You never know. Andre Ellington's got the thigh bruise. He should be able to play, but you never know how that could affect him. Like I said before, Rashad Johnson might not play because of an ankle sprain. You're down to Tony Jefferson, the rookie, starting at safety for you because you've lost Tyrann, and now you might have lost Rashad in two weeks. It's not ideal, and no one's asking anybody to feel sorry for the Cardinals.
No,
but this is a rough place to go to do it like that.
It's almost impossible. It really is when I look at it. I'm trying to look at a scenario here where you think the Cardinals could go up, and again, this is not as a former player. This is as an analyst looking at it and saying, you know what, CenturyLink Field is such a difficult place to play for any opposing team that goes up there. But it also has an impact on the Seattle Seahawks that is undeniable. They are a much better team at home than they are on the road. And I think you could say that for the most part, to some degree, about every team in the National Football League, except the Philadelphia Eagles, okay? But the Seattle Seahawks, it is stark, the way that they play at home in front of that crowd, and the way that it motivates them, and the way that it compels them and propels them forward is stunning. To watch them go play somewhere else and then watch them play up there, it's night and day. And it's not like they're a bad road team, because they're not.
No.
They're a very, very good team, and there's just not a weakness when you look at them. You don't see a weakness. You look at the raw offensive line. Is there a weakness there? No. Not especially since they've gotten healthy as well. They're running the ball. They got Marshawn Lynch, the beast. The guy is the toughest tackle in the National Football League. And – And then you got Russell Wilson just doing his thing. And they are a balanced offense. They are a team that is built to me, in my opinion, to win the Super Bowl and to go up there with something to play for. And the Seahawks are going to have something to play for, correct?
Yes, they haven't even clinched the division technically yet.
Okay. So you better get ready. Their gun is going to be loaded. Hopefully you're going to be able to go up there, weather that early storm. It's always so critical. Whenever you go to Seattle and you play the Seahawks up there, you better be ready for that first quarter. You better be ready for this wave of emotion from the crowd and from the Seahawks coming out. And if you can weather that initial storm, that first quarter, and maybe even the first half, not get in a blowout type situation, you're going to be the better for it. Because once they get on top of you, they are some of the best front runners. And I don't use that in a derogatory way, because they are a tough team mentally. They are very, very tough. Front runner, back runner, doesn't matter. But when they get up on you at CenturyLink Field, you better hold on to your butt.
Well, I mean, two examples at home this season. They got down huge to Houston. They got down huge to Tampa Bay. Obviously, we found, though, those two teams aren't very good. But still, they were down like 21-3 in both those games, something along those lines, 24-7, those kinds of things, and came back to win. So they can do it both ways. But there's no question that the Cardinals, they don't want to go through anything bad. You don't want to have a bad start. You certainly don't want to have a bad start in light of the last time this team went up there. I know this is a completely different team, different coaching staff, and most of the people are going to say this week in this building, that was last year, different team. But the bottom line is those guys who were around last year for 58-0 remember 58-0. They're not forgetting it.
Yeah.
And you don't want that echoing and bouncing around in your head.
You know, and again, going back to the scenario in which I could see the Cardinals going up there and coming out of there victorious. First of all, your defense is good, and you know that. Big Red's defense. And defense travels in the National Football League. That is a saying that's been around a long time, but it's so true. If you got a defense, it really can boost the morale of your entire team. If, in fact, they could go up there at Seattle, they travel well, special teams travels well, indeed. And if you could go up there and play well in transition and play defense the way that we're accustomed to this defense playing on the road, and maybe the Seahawks only get 21, 24 points somewhere in there. Now all of a sudden it starts with that. You got to tell me that the defense is going to mitigate the damage done, that at the most you give up 24 points. Now you got to look at your offense and say, can you score 24 points? That is a tough proposition against that defense in that stadium. And the reason being is because, number one, you're going to have to be perfect protecting the ball. You cannot give up the ball. They are very, very good, very adept at taking the ball away from you. And Carson Palmer's going to have to play his best game, not throw picks. You're not going to be able to turn the ball over with a fumble or anything like that. If you do that and you protect Carson Palmer and you're able to run the ball, you might have a chance. You might have a chance, depending on how the ball bounces and whether or not your defense can actually generate some turnovers. If that happens, I could see the Cardinals going up there and scoring 24 or more points. But again, think of what I just said. The defense, first and foremost, can't give up any more than 24. I don't see any way, and that might even be a little too much. 21 points maybe is a better way to go. If you just can't do that, right, give up over 21 points, and then you're talking about protecting Carson Palmer against what I think is one of the most heinous pass rushing teams in the league. You don't turn the ball over and you're able to run the ball. And then, oh, let me throw this in, you better be over 50% in the red zone. You better score touchdowns when given the opportunity. And not, that's all the things that I think have to come together for the Cardinals to go up there and win. And that's a lot.
It is a lot, but that's why they play the games, and I think this team would rather be in the position they're in now than they were when they went up to Seattle last year, which was for nothing to play for, and it showed.
But this is why, as you said, we play these games.
Exactly. So
You're telling me I got a chance.
And that's absolutely so. We'll see what happens, and we'll see as we head into the final road trip of the season. If it doesn't turn out to be the final road trip of the season, I think that's what we're all hoping for at this point.
So, yes.
For Ron Wolfley, I'm Darren Urban. This has been another edition of Cardinals Underground on azcardinals.com.